1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Tonight on the Phil Hendry Show, Paul McNamara, the chairman of Pets Best Friends, on why cats are not legitimate house pets and should be placed in internment camps. Similar to the ones that Japanese Americans were placed in during World War II. Austin Amarca on to talk with us about talking in movie theaters, how he's sick and tired of being told to shut up. First, this sports note before we get into any other news. How bad is your city and your team when some guy who's basically been raised in the Deep South and went to school in Mississippi doesn't want to live there? How bad is it? Well, it's San Diego, if that gives you a clue. And the team is the Chargers, and the guy that don't want to go down there is Eli Manning, only one of many young, well, one of two, probably more to come, fine young quarterbacks from the legendary Manning family. Archie, the father of that clan, some guy named Archie. Archie Manning, the New Orleans Saints Heisman Trophy winner, then Peyton Manning from Tennessee on to play for the Colts, and now Eli Manning, who said to the San Diego Chargers, "I wouldn't go to play for you guys. I wouldn't live in your city if you backed a dump truck full of doubloons up into my pool." That's how much your town and your team suck. How do you feel, Charger fans? Let's go to the phones. Charger fans from Baja to the North Coast, from all over Asheville, or whatever that cat says. This is Hacksaw Hamilton. Just how bad do we suck? I'm just kidding around, Lee. I like listening to Lee. He sets it up, baby. He sets the table. Only problem is when you get done sitting down to it, you want to throw up. He sets the table all right. I wish somebody would clean the puke off of the placemats. Now, the problem is this. See, this is a sports thing, but it's also an important life thing. It's what we like to call a life thing. Just when you start thinking that everybody is in love with your town because you're near the ocean, doesn't mean you're any less of a Farmer Brown. Now, you go down to San Diego, for instance, great place, nice place to go because the locals down there treat me good. They all have that pie down there. You know, it's nice to go down there and talk to Farmer Jones and his daughter. And they go down there, they're gaga over that baseball stadium. You want to know why I don't like San Diego? I'll tell you why. Because having grown up in Los Angeles, I have listened to and have had enough of all of the L.A. jokes. Smelly. Whether it's in San Diego or in San Francisco. That's right, my fine friends in San Francisco, a beautiful city. If you've been to San Francisco, I say three times, you've seen everything. The only reason to go back up there is to kill yourself, to jump off the bridge. Go up, see it three times, go back home, think about it, realize, yeah, I do want to kill myself, go back up there and jump off the bridge. There you go, that's San Francisco. San Diego, probably the same thing, except their bridge is taller. They got that big arch thing going over to the island there. Man, you jump off that, it'll be days before you hit the water. Smelly, huh? Let me tell you something, farmer. You guys down there, Eli Manning, he wouldn't touch you with the rat end of a plunger. Eli Manning wouldn't touch San Diego with the crap end of the plunger stick. Dig that. Suck on that. And by the way, let me explain. Here's the reason really why I'm bringing it up. There seems to be some misunderstanding today as to Eli Manning's motives. We have a sports writer in our town, Bill Plaschke. He's a wannabe sports writer. Bill, you're probably a nice guy. Jim Murray, you ain't. All right, so give it up. And give it up with your cliche takes on things like, what a spoiled brat Eli Manning is. He won't play for the San Diego Chargers. And you too, Hacksaw. So let me explain something to both of you guys. Number one, Plaschke, somebody ought to smack you across the face for comparing Eli Manning's situation to what happened to the great Pat Tillman. Pat Tillman was fighting for his country, for the right of all of us to choose where we want to work. Do you get that? The National Football League doesn't necessarily give a player the right to choose that. They say, here's the team, you go there. Eli Manning did what any person in business would do in this country. Well, guess what? I'm going to choose my place of employment, if you don't mind. Well, that's not how we do things in the National Football League. Well, that's great, see? Well, guess what? That's not how I do things here at the Manning household. Let me give you guys a history lesson. Eli Manning ain't the first guy to tell a team that they can take their helmet, their jersey, and their big smiling flashbulb pictures and park them sideways up left. John Elway did not want to go play for the Indianapolis Colts. How many people remember that? You remember that one, all you sports writer geniuses out there, all of you guys that, you know, want to have talk shows but will never really have a talk show, so you're just going to have to kind of live vicariously through me and write your boring columns? Do you remember when John Elway didn't want to go to the Colts? Colts drafted Elway. He said, well, I'm not going to Indianapolis. No one in their right mind would go to Indianapolis. I wouldn't go to Indianapolis on a round-trip ticket. Bernie Kosar, he wanted to play in Cleveland. He didn't want to play anywhere else, and he was going to play in Cleveland. The reason why this story's got so much heat is because it's Eli Manning, the greatest player in the draft, the greatest quarterback in the draft, one of the top players in several years to come out of college football. He is the heir apparent to the legendary Manning football factory. And he ain't going to play for the San Diego Chargers. Why? And I'll give you a reason why. For those of you who don't understand, you don't need to understand much about football to know this. Offensive line, that's four big guys. The quarterback, he die. He no have offensive line. He die. He die slow, horrible. When offensive line no good, quarterback die. What do they got down in San Diego? The worst offensive line in football. So Eli Manning's going to go down there for a few million and be crippled for life behind that four slabs of butter that they got down there for an offensive line. Forget it. What is it with you cats that do sports shows and write sport? Are you guys, in other words, are you drinking? I think that guy Plashtey drinks. Honest to God, man, once you put the I happen to know about the L.A. Times sports desk because my best friend's old man was a photographer for the L.A. Times sports section, and I happen to know that they had bottles hidden in every desk in that department, the sports department. Honest to God, I know that. So they're taking a nip over there before they sit down and go, column number one. You know, cats are over there at the press box at Dodger Stadium. They're going out for the big, tall beers. Coming back in, a little bit of Budweiser foam on their lip as they just kind of wipe it away and sign it. Bill Plashkey. Yep. That's why that guy don't go down to San Diego, because the team sucks. Their offensive line would cripple him for the rest of his life, and he'd like to win a Super Bowl sometime in the next century. Now, I happen to like the Chargers. I wouldn't go and watch them play if they moved to L.A. I like them. I'm sorry they built a baseball stadium down there, but they got their priorities straight, I guess. They want to go out there to, what is it called, PetSmart Stadium or something? Is it Cat Chow Stadium? And they're going to go see the Padres play. Whoopee. And it's revitalized downtown and all of those marvelous things. San Diego, the best-kept secret. They're a pretty good secret. They're kind of like, you know, a little bit of kind of bloody stool, man. They're just something you don't want to talk about them. So that's what's going on. And, you know, to bring up Pat Tillman's name in the middle of this, you got to be some kind of a desperate, desperate, quote-unquote writer. Some guy really hanging on to his job to try to compare this to Tillman. In other words, what are you saying, man? Tillman went into the army, didn't want glory, fought for his country, and that means Eli Manning disgraces him by not just going to the first team that takes him in the draft, because that makes him a spoiled brat, and maybe what he ought to do is enlist? Is that your point, man? What's your point? Or that Eli Manning should not exercise his rights under the Constitution of the United States because another football player had the balls enough to... Look, Plashkey, get this one into your fat head and the rest of you guys that supposed are sports experts. Pat Tillman did what he did because he's a man, okay? Now, you don't have any of those in the National Football League. You got football players. That's what you got. So they're going to do what they do. They're going to entertain us, and that's what they're supposed to do. Football players get out onto that field 3 hours every Sunday afternoon, and they better give us a good show, or we're flipping it on over to ballet or figure skating. It's as simple as that. Okay? Tillman was a cut above that. Tillman was a rare man. In fact, I'm not just rare among football players, rare among the human race, that he would leave his job, that he would leave a very well-paying job. Let me put it that way. And go voluntarily to fight for his country. In America today, 2004, we look at guys like that as if they're crazy. You realize the desperate straits we're in as a nation? We look at a guy like Tillman like he's nuts. There was a time when we'd look at a cat like that and want to be like him. Today in America, though, we look at a guy like that like he's some kind of a mental case, okay? So, personally, I think Pat Tillman is, you know, head and shoulders above anything that we got passing for a man in the National Football League. That having been said, don't start expecting heroics out of these guys, you dumbbells. Just make sure that what they do on the field is covered properly. They're going to do what they do, which is protect their paycheck, which would every American would do. And shut up about comparing it to a guy like Tillman. Eli Manning's going to go play for the New York Giants. Who wouldn't want to play for the Giants when you got a when you got the choice between them and the San Diego Sugars? You're going to go play for Marty Schottenheimer? Football, when Marty started playing football, they wore leather helmets and they were still doing the pro set, okay? Forget it. Yeah, Marty's one of those great football minds. This is a guy that's going to take the Chargers all the way to the Super Bowl in his freaking dreams. You want a little advice down there? Get rid of Schottenheimer. You better make LaDainian Tomlinson happy fast. That guy's the best thing you got on that team. Trade everybody else. Burn down Petco Park if you can. I know some guys that'll do it. And then maybe. All right, our email address on that nice little perky note, on that high-stepping note. Let's see, we've just recommended burning down the Padre Baseball Stadium. All right, so we're off and running here. Our email address, phs@philhenryshow.com, phs@philhenryshow.com. Coming up tonight, Austin Amarca on how he has a right to talk in movie theaters. He knows karate. And Paul McNamara on building internment camps for cats. He can't stand them. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
And the only other thing that happened over the last few days, a lot of stuff happened in my world. I could get into that. I'm battling the mud swallows again. You want to hear about that? You want to hear about that? You want to hear about the 800,000 women and men that were marching for the right to butcher up babies, which I agree with. I shouldn't say butcher up babies because that's exactly what some people would have you believe. That's what women are doing. They're butchering up babies. They're just hacking them to pieces. They'll show you the pictures of the hands, the arms, the legs. They'll even show you made-up pictures of a little hand reaching out and grabbing the doctor's finger. Have you seen that one? It's phony baloney. Completely phony. But they'd show you that one, too. I mean, people that are against abortion who believe in the right of life or pro-life or however they call it, they're not beneath lying about it. Or not above, I should say. They're far beneath lying about it. I don't care. And that's exactly why I support a woman's right to choose, and that's all there is to that. One of the things we do on this show, by the way, is we talk about abortion, but we don't let anybody call in and express any opinions on it. Only I get to. See, that's what makes me different from just about any other show. A, we're funny. B, we're funny. And C, only I get to talk about stuff. Actually, you can call in on related matters. I tell you what, I'll talk about abortion. You guys call in and talk about the San Diego Chargers. It's the same thing. I'm kidding. What are you shaking your head in there for, Pelton? Like, boy, are you off to a sorry start this week. Man, you'll stoop to nothing. You will stoop to everything. There's Laura Engel on Fox Television. Laura got to town about, 2 years ago from Sacramento, and now she's a TV star. She's on Fox. She does the news. Is she still doing the news for us at night, or has she graduated from the Phil Hendry Show over there? I don't know, but she's talking about some mystery letter about Lacey Peterson and other stuff that no one cares about. Now, moving on to abortion. 800,000 women out there in Washington, D.C., along with their boyfriends, assorted lovers, and paramours. That is some kind of a crowd, baby. 800,000. That's almost a million. Is there any doubt where people stand on that issue? Any doubt at all? No, I don't think so. Now, you want to know why President Bush is only leading John Kerry by, what, 2 percentage points, if he's leading them at all? You want to know why? There's only one reason. Only one reason. It has nothing to do with Iraq, and it has nothing to do with the economy. It has to do with this mental problem that these Republicans have got. And that is, for some reason, they feel like they owe the Bible hunchers some large debt of gratitude that they've got to turn over large portions of whatever the hell it is Republicans stand for to these freaking Bible thumpers. What is your problem over there? What seems to be your major malfunction, numbnuts? As our good buddy Arlie Ermey said in, what was it called? Straight jacket? Full straight jacket? Full metal straight jacket. What's your major malfunction? What part of dumbass don't you guys understand? You keep throwing in with them Bible hunchers about this abortion crap and prayer in school junk and everything else that's got nothing supposedly what to do with being a Republican. I thought you guys were about no government sticking their noses up the rear ends of the public. Isn't that what you guys say you're about? What is it with you cats anyway, man? One of the most respected, one of the founding fathers of conservative thought, Barry Goldwater, believed in having gay people in the military. He didn't have a problem with that. He didn't think abortion had anything to do with being a Republican. What is it with you guys that all of a sudden you got the Pat Buchanan, and you got the James Tilton, and you got the Jerry Falwell, and you guys just keep going right along with these nuts? That's the reason why one term, and you're about to lose the presidency to the Democrats again, because you don't get it and you never have. The days of Reagan are done. Do you understand that Ronald Reagan is out of office? His buddy George Bush Sr. got his ass kicked out of office so fast, your head's still going around on that one. They got tired of Bill Clinton simply because the guy had he didn't have too much smarts when it came to the office of the president. He was a good president, but the fact of the matter is, having a fat girl on the floor there in the Oval Office is, I don't think, even if it was Zachary freaking Taylor, even if it was some guy wearing a coonskin cap, man, whoever that guy, even Ulysses S. Grant, who was drunk most of the time, even he wouldn't have done that. Along comes Bush, who has, in my opinion, behaved admirably in terms of the threat to this country from terrorists, but everything else seems to escape him. Gay marriage, he don't get it. This abortion thing, he don't get it. In other words, the stuff that ought to be like a no-brainer if you're a so-called Republican, which is keep your freaking nose out of everybody's bedroom, keep your nose out of everybody's private life, and let them do what they do, which is let the market do its thing, or whatever the hell it was that Reagan used to say, and everything's going to be beautiful. Not that I totally agree with that 100%, but I will say this, less government in terms of my personal life, yeah, that's a good thing. And you'd think the Republican Party would be the one that would be on top of that one. These guys are so far not on top of that one. They've been down so long, it looks like up to them. It's been 31 years, and one of the reasons why they had so many women out there, it's been 31 years since abortion was deemed constitutional by the Supreme Court of the United States. And they support that in the amendments. And I will tell you which amendment it is. It's the one about search and seizure, right? In other words, you have the right to protect your ass. And it says right there, the right to protect your ass. They have no right to come in and look up your rear end and come into your house and check this out and check that out and everything else, right? And they said that falls within that Constitution, so everybody else can just kiss our big, bright you-know-what, and that's the end of that discussion. But still, we've got people who want to continue to dictate to women what they got to do. So they got 800,000 of these people out there in Washington, D.C. to try to send a message home good and strong to try to finally get it through the big, fat, thick skull of that guy that's running the country. Just when I think that President Bush is really getting some things together, this guy hasn't got anything together, man. It's about as loose can be. This guy needs more fiber. He needs more fiber in his thinking. So that's what was happening in Washington while I was trying to murder wildlife. See, I believe in a woman's right to choose, but when it comes to wild animals, I believe in my right to choose. And I choose death. Of course I don't. Of course I don't choose death. Of course I respect wildlife. But I will not have birds crapping in my pool. That's why I'm voting for John Kerry. I'm Phil Henry. Join me this August in Miami Beach for the National Democratic Convention. John Kerry has come out in favor of me taking a BB gun to stray dogs in the neighborhood. Join us, and we'll throw our medals over the wall. I'm only joking. That's just a joke. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. I said it again if you don't hear too good. This is the Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Although I will say that the amendment that protects a woman's right to choose, the 14th Amendment, also has a thing in there about how Indians, they don't count. Anyway, moving along. Well, it does. Right there, it says Indians don't count. It says here, blah, 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 excluding Indians. So Indians don't get to have abortions, just so you know. 1-800-449-8686. That's the Constitution. That's what we're fighting and dying for. Or that's what some people are fighting and dying for, okay? Some people are fighting and dying for that. Not everybody. You know, nowadays, a guy fights and dies for his country, and we feel sorry for the guy. Dig that. How did we get to this place where we feel sorry for those? Who's this kid that, by the way, I'm gonna tell you about the Cliff Swallow thing in a moment. But this guy who put the pictures up, this Kick, that's his name, put the pictures up of the guys that are dead, the American soldiers. We got a new kind of war protester. We got this new kind of wannabe war protester in America. And you combine that kind of wannabe mentality with the internet, and what you have is a new way of becoming famous. And really, that's all that guy wants to be, is famous. This guy that put those pictures of those men and women who died in Iraq up on a website, even though the United States government did not want to have those up on a website, and in point of fact, he doesn't have any right, nor does anybody else have a right, to use the images of a dead human being for their own political purpose. One thing we do know, those guys were fighting over there for their country, they were over there willingly, and they believed in their mission. Now, guess what? We do know that. So therefore, the government, I think, is pretty safe in assuming that they are the best judge of what to do with images of those poor, dead, brave men and women. Not some dude living with his older girlfriend in an apartment in San Fernando or Pacoima, who's got his little website and he's become another journalist anarchist. Drudge, do you see what you've done? Matt Drudge, the inventor of internet journalism, do you see the wave of imitators that have come after you? It wouldn't be so bad if we were just having a deal with you, Matt, every now and again printing something that I've got to go into the bathroom and weep over, that I've got to go into the bathroom just like that kid in full straight metal jacket and blow my brains out. No, now what we got to do is we got to read every guy that wants to be Matt Drudge, every guy that looks bad in a hat, every cat that wants to have a website and wants to become the new provocateur, the Asian provocateur of the modern journalism, the New Age journalism. So he goes, aha, I'll get all of those pictures off the Freedom of Information Act. I'll move in with my older girlfriend who works at JCPenney's but really thinks she's my manager. We'll put them up on the internet. Then the Today Show will call. Good Morning America will call. And I got to tell you right now, folks, you shouldn't judge me, but I'll be alone with myself for quite a while in a bathroom just thinking about all of this marvelous stuff that's happened to me simply because I took the pictures of dead Americans, soldiers, and use them for my own political purposes. Thank you, dumbass quick internet journalist. That guy has that dude there. Everybody think, well, man, I guess what the guy's doing, he's keeping that the spirit of journalism alive. Nah, he's just another guy, man. It's trying to grab his moment in the sun. He doesn't have any right, any more than that guy Trudeau does with his little comic strip, have the right to speak for dead soldiers. Well, what gives you or the American government the right, Hendry? Because those guys were over there fighting in that mission, believing in that mission, and because, as I said, I think the United States government's in a better place to know what those guys were thinking, since they were working for them, and I happen to believe in what they were doing, than what Gary Trudeau is thinking, or some clown who's living in an overly small apartment with his girlfriend and 10 cats, and all those Colonel Sanders boxes laying around. Oh, God. God. You imagine what it smells like in that joint? Hey, man, how about opening a window? I'm an internet journalist. That's great. But I still think you ought to use the toilet and not a coffee can. Can't you get up and walk the 4 paces into your bathroom? This apartment couldn't be more than 50 square feet. Oh, you fascist. Yeah, that's me. Dude, you live in an apartment, man. No night soil pots, okay? Well, I don't know. I don't have time to get up and use a toilet. Dude, it's 3 feet away. That just, you know, it's just another example, just another sad example of where we're at. Once upon a time, this was a country where a guy went off to fight for his country. We'd say, well, that's something I admire you for and thank you for protecting me. or thank you at least for protecting my country. Now we feel sorry for the guy. Now it's there but for the grace of God. Now it's, boy, you poor schmuck. Now we use images of them in their coffins and we say, look at these poor guys. And everybody wants to use them for their own purpose, including, but not, not solely the province of fat asses like Michael Moore, who says he supports the troops. Hey, Moore, dude, the only thing you support about the troops is bringing them home, so that leaves far more K-rations for you to bust into. Oh, my God, as if going to the regular Gelson's isn't good enough for you, you got a friend on the inside at the Marine Corps that's sending you all them little brownies that he steals out of those K-rations. You pig. Moore saying, I support the troops. You don't support, the only thing you support, man, and barely, is your fat ass. And that's only because you got your underwear specially made. And this guy supports the troops. And that guy supports the troops. And we all support the troops, huh? There's only one way you can support the troops. I got a big, big news flash for you. There's only one way you support the troops, and that's for you to wish them Godspeed as they waste as many of those ragheads as they can. That's how you support the troops. You say, Godspeed, baby, as you go in there and grease up as many of them ragheads as you can, whether inside that mosque, outside that mosque, or just shopping for another batch of bananas there at the local market. Oh, I guess I made a racist comment because I referred to ragheads and bananas in the same phrase. Is that it? Well, you want to know something? I happen to like bananas. That's how you support those guys. That's how I support them. Hey, I got one more thing for you guys to think about, and then I'll get around to the mud swallow thing if I feel like it. And it's just this. This is for all of my pals, all of my good friends out there that keep calling up with the same question. Al-Qaeda didn't, Iraq wasn't involved in the World Trade Center. Al-Qaeda was. Well, let me ask you a question. How come we attacked Germany in World War II? Japan's the one that attacked us. Well, it was all the same thing. Aha! Now you get it. It is all the same thing. It was then and it is now. All the same thing. All the same flaming jackball. The only difference between, you know, we did a poll right after 9/11. I said, who's the worst enemy America ever had? Hitler came in second. Bin Laden. The only difference between Bin Laden and Hitler is that Bin Laden's smarter than Hitler. First of all, Bin Laden ain't sticking around in one town in some reinforced bunker. Bin Laden knows how to exterminate human beings in a far more efficient manner. 3,000 people using only 19 guys, I'd say that's pretty damn good. And you didn't have to build any concentration camps, you didn't have to put together a death squad, and you didn't have to get police dogs, and you didn't have to do this, you didn't have to get boxcars, you didn't have to get the rail stations. All you had to do was have 19 guys willing to fly an airplane into a building. Boom! 3,000 people dead. This guy Bin Laden makes Hitler look like some clown who's out there selling marbles. That's the only difference between these guys. The similarities are far too many to mention. They've got allies everywhere. They've got people that think the same way everywhere. And if you're trying to tell me that because the Japanese were the ones that attacked us, not the Krauts, that the Japs should have been the only guys that we were fighting in World War II, obviously you are very alone in your opinion. Everybody look at you like you're screwy. But guess what? That's the way we're thinking now. Well, it's not the same thing, Mr. Henry. That was a declared war. And people, the world's changing, man. You guys, everybody wants to apply these 19th century marquees of, what's them rules? You know, when you fist fight a guy and you go like, you know, that Jack Jansen thing with the skin tight pants? The marquee rules? Anyway, nobody, you know, what is it, man? We got no ability to evolve in this country whatsoever, to evolve our thinking. A declared war, whatever. What are you talking about, man? We recognized then that Hitler, Tojo, Mussolini, they were all the same scumbag, even though it was the Japanese that dropped the bombs. How come all of a sudden we can't get it through our thick, fat heads? It's the same freaking thing with this war in Iraq, this war on terror, whether you're talking about Al-Anwar, Martyrs Brigade, whether you're talking about the Junior Fire Brigade, whether you're talking about the United States Muslim Club, I don't know. The USMC, United States Muslim Club. It's the same scumbag. And I don't mean by United States Muslim Club, the fine American Muslims. I mean some terror cell that calls themselves that, okay? Just so I can be clear. And no, we want to still fight. You know what we are? We're like the British. You remember how, did you ever see those movies with those clowns? You see the Patriot? You see how the British would march in a single line across the field? That's us. That's what Americans want us to do. And meanwhile, the Americans were up there taking pot shots. We learned guerrilla warfare from the Indians. See, wait, today, the American people want us to fight wars like that. Like we still got a thumb parked up our rear ends and we're just marching along like a bunch of jackasses with big red hats that make nice big targets. They want us to fight the war like that, according to some antiquated set of rules. Now, those guys back then, all those blue coat, those Americans, British look at it and say, you're not playing by the rules. Well, so what? We got a job to do here. Anyway, I could use example after example, but why would I want to do that, man? I got a whole week I got to get through here. I got an entire week, and within about a week and a half, we'll figure out whether we have that animation pilot on the Fox television network or not, a fine television network, I'd just like to say at this time. We'll find out whether or not we have ourselves an animated pilot, and if we do, if we actually go to series, I'm going to kiss this radio gig goodbye. I'm kidding. Man, the exhaust won't settle in the parking lot before I, you know, I'm going to be gone. No, I'm just sort of joking. I saw some of the animation. Boy, do I look like a boy. They made me as ugly as they could. But they got Amy looking great. See, we got Amy Yazbek. We got Sarah Silverman, who plays the daughter. And she looks like a real piece of beauty. In fact, Sarah saw it. She said, thanks for making me look hot. I said, you already are hot. I didn't say that to her. I said it as I was walking out the door so she couldn't hear me and claim sexual harassment. And Nat Faxon said the same thing. He said, thanks for making me look hot. And I said, you already are hot. And he sort of moved away from me. So we've got ourselves a little pilot. We'll see what happens. Maybe not. I'm guessing the same way I did last year with the NBC pilot. The odds are way against it. Way against it. So I'm guessing, no, we won't make it to the air. Because getting a TV show on the air, just because you get a pilot order, just because somebody says, well, make an example of the show and then let's take a look at it, man, you are 9 million miles away from even smelling getting on the air, baby. So you may be all jazzed and the world may look beautiful if you got yourself a TV camera in your kisser and you're doing your pilot thing. But brother, when they finally take a look at these things, when the suits finally review them to see what gets on the air, when they all sit there snapping their suspenders with their thumbs in their ears and eating some of them little queued up pieces of cantaloupe and they're looking at it and taking notes, brother, you are dead, man. You're like so much roadkill. But that's why I like to think positively. 1-800-449-8686. Up next, Cliff swallows. It's the Phil Henry Show. Cliff does swallow, but I'm kidding.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
By the way, I just saw physical evidence, very graphic physical evidence, as to why it is the ponytail is no longer in for men. And I mean any man, any age. I realize that bald men should be shot on sight if they wear ponytails. Of course, we've known this for years. But now I'd like to add to that, any of you guys whose jaws are wider than the top of your head, because I just saw some dude on TV, and for all I know, it could have been the early stages of Elephant Man disease. This guy's jaw was like this wide. The top of his head was sort of pinhead shape. And I realized what was wrong. The guy had sucked all of his hair back in a ponytail so that, your hair gives the appearance that you've got a larger brain than you really have. That's the good thing about hair. By the way, there are some guys that shouldn't shave their heads either. That's the opposite of the ponytail. Some cats shave their heads and the back of their head looks like, have you ever seen those dogs that have those wrinkles? Those wrinkled dogs?
They're called Shar-Pei dogs.
Yeah, some guys have got the skulls that it's just like folds of skin. It's frightening beyond anything I can describe. Some of you cats, and then you shave your head. Like a lot of guys I see shave their heads, and their head, like their top of their head is small, but their face is huge. And the effect is one of pinheadedness, I believe is the medical term. And then this poor guy that I just saw on TV who had the ponytail sucked all the way back, it looked as if he was sitting there saying, if I turn the sound down, he could be saying,
I like working in circus. Someday, maybe I can...
You clean the elephant cage?
Yeah.
Okay. Speaking of cleaning cages, so anyway, do you guys remember 2 years ago the cliff swallows had hit my house, these neotropical birds from South America? Because I got a house that must be in a migratory bird pattern. Well, guess what? They're back. Back bigger and better than ever. They're building these mud nests. They're crapping in my pool. Oh, the dreary challenge of it all. Hey, Henry, why are you complaining about that? Don't you know guys are fighting and dying in Iraq for your rights? Yes, I know that. I appreciate that. I'm fighting and killing birds for my rights. I'm not killing them, but I can tell you this. These animals, these cliff swallows that are allowed because of environmental protection to roost underneath the eaves of my house, have their chicks, and then fly off at their leisure while they turn my pool into one of the largest, greenest, algae-ridden pools of poison in the world. I think something's got to be done, and I'm the guy to do it. So I'm not even going to let them get their freaking nest started. I'll let them work their asses off morning, noon, and night, their little tail feathers off, man. They won't get one of them things built. That way, nobody can accuse me of, making it like a drag for a pregnant bird or something. Go build a nest someplace else, man. Is that the law? What did you do, Henry? I made it a drag for a pregnant bird. All right, see, that's not good. Forget it. And there are the neighbors, what's he doing now? They're looking at Henry out there. I'm in my bathrobe and my underwear hosing down the mud on those walls. And those birds are unrelenting, man. I haven't let them get one nest going, and they're back 2 hours later. Boom. And I'm talking to them now. And I'm, you dirty. And I turn the hose off. And as I walk away, I look back and say, I'll be back. Don't you worry. I'll be back. I'm like Tony Soprano and those ducks, only he liked the ducks. Let me tell you about ducks and Tony Soprano while we're on the subject. See, what they didn't show you in that episode of The Sopranos, the very first one where Tony sees the ducks come to his pool and he digs them and he feeds them. Have you ever seen duck crap in all of its glory? Have you ever been around duck crap? Let me tell you what, it is foul, black, and plentiful. And if you've got ducks in your backyard, and they're using your pool as their own personal little playpen, friend, not only does it smell like the inside of a dead cow, it's all over your shoes, your pool turns into a toilet bowl. They don't show you that in The Sopranos, do they? No. They show you all the violence in the world. They show you that Pantaleone guy beating that chick to death. They show you every kind of unacceptable thing. But duck crap? Uh-uh. That's why I think that David Chase has got tons of work to do on that putrid show before I even begin watching it, even though I have all the seasons on DVD. 1-800-449-8686. Coming up, Austin Amarca on his right to talk in the movie theater. He knows karate. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686. Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Mr. Marco, you are a part-time, you teach martial arts, right?
Yes, sir, I do.
And you also have a cabinet-making business?
Well, I do. I'm primarily involved in doing remodeling, but I do get a great deal of pleasure out of teaching martial arts. And I suppose, more than anything, and a lot of people out there feel the way that I do, that we are all, I think, getting a little sick and tired of being told to be quiet or shut up in movie theaters, because we all have a constitutional right to free speech, for starters. And this trend at telling people that you don't even know to be quiet in a movie theater, the movie starting, be quiet, is understood by me up to a point. I'm a big fan of films, especially action films. I enjoy watching them and talking about them, as I'm sure many people enjoy that.
Well, you mentioned you are being told to be quiet. So in other words, you are an annoyance to other people.
Well, you have to understand, I'm not unwrapping candy. I'm not eating popcorn. I'm not kicking chairs. I'm not telling jokes. I'm not talking to a friend. I'm not giggling with my girlfriend. And what that means is the people that do that at the beginning of the film, when they ask you not to talk in the theater, they are directing themselves specifically at those people who are making unnecessary noise. That sign they put up at the beginning of the film.
Well, the sign says, turn off your cell phones and please be quiet.
That is correct, sir. And that is for people who are chattering to each other. That is completely understood. Talking on cell phones, a lot of stupid people making a lot of stupid noise. I teach martial arts part-time, so I did take members of our dojo to this movie, Kill Bill.
That's the new Quentin Tarantino, right?
Yes, sir, it is.
Okay. That's got Uma Thurman.
Uma Thurman, David Carradine. I don't need to know if people have seen the movie. There's a lot of martial arts in it, and a lot of it needs to be explained to my students. And
So you're talking to your students during a film like this, explaining to them what? The moves?
The martial arts moves.
How many students do you have?
I've got about four or five kids with me, and some of my better students. And there's a technique used in the film which I wanted to talk to them about.
Now, you mentioned it's called a 5 points. What is it called again, Janice? The 5 points what?
It's a five pressure point.
That is it, yes, sir.
Yes.
The five pressure points that I wanted to show them. And I had a guy Saturday turn around and say to me, we don't need any help here. We're trying to watch the movie. And I'm trying to explain this to my kids, the kung fu moves that are being used. Now, first of all, when you turn around in a movie theater and tell somebody to shut up, you're not only being rude, but in this man's case, you are jeopardizing yourself to some degree, because I happen to know karate. It's not that I'm going to get physical with this man. It's not that I'm going to attack him. I'm a very controlled individual, but if you catch somebody like me on a bad day, I could do some serious damage, or they could. And what I know...
What did you say to this man? Now, you're talking to your students about the martial arts moves in Kill Bill. He asked you to be quiet. What did you say to him?
I didn't want to say anything that would further inflame the situation, but I did step out into the aisle, and I snapped out a roundhouse kick. And what that did is...
So you did some kind of a kung fu move?
No, sir. It was a taekwondo move. And before you say anything, all that did was it showed him what I'm capable of. I wasn't trying to scare him, but I did want him to know that I love film and I wanted to talk to my students about this.
Well, if a guy snaps out a roundhouse kick in my direction, I consider that to be a threat.
I don't want to look at it that way, but when you know karate and you snap out a roundhouse kick or taekwondo or what have you, that will quiet some people down, and that's what I needed to do, at least in his case, because I wanted to talk to my students about this film. And I think we're all getting very tired of individuals we don't even know from Adam turning around in a movie theater while we are trying to discuss the film and saying, shh, would you be quiet? And I think we've reached a point where it's understandable you might want some quiet when someone's just chattering away to his wife about stupid things. But this is a whole different thing.
All right, I'm going to get our audience involved in this, Mr. Mark. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. You're talking about your right to talk in a movie theater if you're talking about the film. You also say...
If you're speaking legitimately about the film, yes. And especially in my case where I had students with me.
Yeah, but you also said that you snapped a roundhouse kick at this guy as if to say, don't mess with me.
All I said was, I do know karate. Let's just say this. They shouldn't have a problem with it. The fact that that I am talking in the movie, especially the theaters, because I know karate and I know a lot about films. I'm a very, very big fan. I give people around me kind of an educated commentary of what I find most acceptable. And the fact that I made some intelligent remarks about the film, I think it's going to bring business back to the theater.
All right. What about the other people around you who are also watching? Generally, there's a lot of people who don't want to say anything when someone is talking in a movie theater, but maybe they're thinking of saying something.
Well, I often have people come up to me at the end of a film and shake my hand, and the comment is always the same. I never really liked someone talking while I was watching a movie, but your comments made the film more enjoyable. So 9 times out of 10, and it's always gratifying, but most of the time, I am told to shush or to shut up. You always hear this one. You always hear people go, shh. And I find that rude. And then there's the one or more who yell, shut up, that kind of thing.
Well, I got to tell you, I'm one of those guys. I don't like hearing people talking in a movie. I don't care what it's about.
Even if it's about the film itself, making intelligence. So you haven't heard me speaking in a movie theater when it's a karate movie. Or not a karate movie, but a martial arts film.
Well, I, for the life of me, I don't know what you could be talking about. You could be
I'm talking about different moves. Maybe you didn't hear what I said. I'm talking about the different moves.
Well, that's fine. But the fact is, there are people there to see the film just as an action piece.
Well, I'm there to see it, too. And I'm also there because I love film. And I know karate, so when you tell me in a movie theater to shut up, you know, I mean, I don't know what it is you're trying to say.
Well, see, that's what you're saying. You're saying you'd use violence on me.
I just got done saying to you, most people shake my... It's very simple. If you're explaining a movie in an educated way like I do, it's okay to talk. But if you're talking about something that has nothing to do with the movie, that's wrong.
All right, so talking in the movie theater is okay. When I see that sign, though, that says, please be quiet...
The people they're talking about are these people that drive me crazy, too. Unwrapping candy, making loud noises with the popcorn, giggling with their girlfriend, getting up and going to the can 5-10 times in a movie, talking to their wife, telling her to be quiet, this kind of thing.
All right, now you told my producer Janice that you wanted to come on and basically give the audience a warning.
No, I didn't say that, sir.
Well, she said that you used a warning.
No, sir. I wanted to come on and say to some of your listeners that the next time they feel compelled to shush someone in a movie theater, that I think it's fair warning that they may be shushing somebody with karate experience.
When you snap that round... See, I got to tell you something, Mr. Mark. In all honesty, when you're snapping a roundhouse kick at somebody, when you're doing some of your karate moves on someone that just asked you to be quiet in a movie theater, that is a tacit threat of violence.
I don't look at it that way.
Well, why did you do that?
I did that. Yes, I did that to show them what I can do.
And so don't talk to me.
It was a silent gesture to tell him that I'm talking about the film and I am not talking about my wife's needing to stop off at the, you know, to go to the bathroom before we leave in the car because she's going to want to go to the can on the way home or something like that.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. With me is Austin Amarca. This man owns a martial arts gym and teaches it part-time. He also apparently went out to see this movie Kill Bill, which is a film that features quite a bit of martial arts action. He took some students with him, and in the movie theater he was talking with the students about this movie. He was told to be quiet, and he feels that the time has come for people who are sick of being told to be quiet in a movie theater to stand up for themselves. He believes when you're talking about the film and making legitimate comments that could be educational for the people around you, that you should be allowed to talk. Now, one man told him to shut up, and he walked out into the aisle. Is that what he said? He walked out into the aisle and snapped out a roundhouse kick, which is kind of a taekwondo move, and then sat back down. I got to tell you, personally, now he claims that people shake his hand at the end of the movie and say, thank you for educating me about the film. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Mr. Marka? Mr. Mark, you there?
Yes, sir, I'm right here.
I don't care really what you say. It sounds to me like you're warning people, watch out. If you tell me to shush one more time, I'm going to...
I'm just coming on and warning your listeners that there are millions of us out here, Mr. Hendry, who have every right in the world to talk during a movie, and we don't want to be told to shush anymore. And if you're going to go to a movie with me, maybe you'd understand how helpful my comments were, and I would invite you to come to see a movie with me.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. The number on the Phil Hendry Show will return with Austin Amarca about talking in a movie theater right after this on the Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Stepping over the line, naked. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Say that again.
I did the Silent Scream tour.
All right, hold on. We're back on the air. I'm talking with Austin Amarca. He teaches martial arts part-time as a dojang in Lancaster, California. Now, you had taken your karate class to see The Matrix.
Absolutely. It's a wonderful film. It shows a lot of very sophisticated martial arts moves, even though the movie is a lot of fantasy.
All right, but a lady told you to be quiet as you were talking about the film to your class, and you did something called the Silent Scream. Why don't you tell me what that is?
The Silent Scream is a martial arts move. You get, literally, you get within the space of that person, a few inches away from their face, and you open your mouth as wide as you can, as if you're screaming. We also call that the face of the lion. And that will shut someone up so fast, that will freeze someone literally in their track. And she just sat right down, and she kept her, like I said in my class, she kept the pie hole shut.
Yeah, again, this is threatening people.
No, sir, it is not. The Silent Scream, I guess you could say it demonstrates my karate ability, and I know what I'm talking about when I'm talking in my class about The Matrix, Kill Bill, any of these other films that have these martial arts moves.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Do some people have a right to talk while a movie's on? Here is Sherry. Go ahead, Sherry, on the Phil Hendry Show with Austin Amarca.
Hi.
By the way, can I just add, what kind of name is Amarca?
Amarca, Mr. Hendry, is French. My family, and we're talking about generations ago, came from the northern portion of Switzerland that borders France.
Okay, go ahead, Sherry.
Okay, you are the reason people like me don't go to the movies.
Well, then, ma'am, what do you mean I'm the reason people like you don't go to the movies? That's fine. Don't go to the movies. I've had many people shake my hand.
I don't pay to listen to you instruct your students.
No, but I'm instructing you as well.
Did I ask you to instruct me? No, I came to watch a movie, not to listen to your mouth.
But do you know what you're looking at?
A movie, obviously, if somebody would shut up, I could hear the movie.
What about people that just don't want to hear you talking?
Well, Mr. Exactly. They can certainly move their seat to some other part of the theater. They can certainly...
You know, a lot of these films are sold out.
You know what? You could just rent the movie and instruct your students at home.
Well, ma'am, renting the film is fine, but the movie, as you know, does not come out on a DVD or VHS
well, can
release.
Can you not wait?
No, ma'am, I'd like to take the students. They're all talking about it. I'm not sure I understand what your problem is.
Well, because it's people like you who stop other people from hearing the movie.
No, ma'am, no, it's people like you that keep me from commenting intelligently about the movie. See, what
and
you
I'm
don't
not
like,
commenting intelligently? If you were to put a roundhouse into my face, I would pull my can of mace out and let you have it.
Ma'am, first of all, I was nowhere near the man. I snapped off a roundhouse kick to show him what I could
you
do.
Is that instructing your students? Well,
way,
look what I can do.
Using mace in an area like that, you could harm other people.
Well, you know what?
So I don't think
harm
that
other
you
people.
Even, so I don't think you even know what it is you're talking about. But
oh, I
if
don't.
You would,
okay,
if you,
I want to
no,
pay to go watch a movie, but your big mouth is running
well,
on and
you know
on.
Something? I have every right. I'm getting tired of people like you telling me to be quiet.
Oh, really?
Yes.
You should open your own theater then.
Well, maybe you should. I mean,
I don't need to. I don't go to the movies because of people
call.
Like you.
Yeah, well, I that's a good idea. I'd say stay home then.
Well, you just
all right.
better watch your roundhouses
all
in
right.
the theater.
1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. Here is John. Go ahead, John.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, you know, one thing I was thinking about is, you know, some theaters have the baby cry room. I think it'd be a great place for you and your kids to go and to talk all you want. You can shut the door and everybody else enjoys the movie.
Wait,
and you can talk all you want.
Why do I have to leave?
No, you didn't have to leave. Just go in the little baby.
Why I'm the one that has to go? Why do we have to go in that room? You're the guys
talking.
That are...
When babies cry, they
well, wait a second.
If you want to talk,
the only crying that's going on,
noise.
The only crying that's going on are the people crying about the fact that I know a lot about karate and
no,
I've explained
it's
different
because
moves.
You're an idiot. It's because you're an idiot.
No.
That's why people are talking. You think it's about your karate. It's not about your karate. It's about you being an idiot.
No, I'm
and
not being an idiot.
That's what irritates people.
I'm
here
talking.
You are.
No. How come people shake my hand at the end of the movie?
Well, I don't know what
don't
they're
have an
thinking,
answer for
but
that.
I would shake their hand.
Sir, if you were to tell me to shut up while I had my class at Rush Hour 3 with Jackie Chan, and I'm explaining one of the great movies by Mr. Chan, and one of the great moves, I'd give your popcorn bucket a move like I call a dragon.
Yeah, and you know what? I do tell people to shut up, and if you were there, I'd tell you to shut up.
And why would
and
you
I'd do it
that?
Again, and what? I'm not going to stop.
Why would you
and
risk...
I will. If I ever see you, I will tell you to shut up.
Why would you risk your well-being?
I won't shush you. I will tell you to shut up. That's what I will tell you.
Why would you risk your well-being?
Well, what are you saying?
Well, how do you know? No, that's what? The point. You know, this is all violence you're talking about. Whether
no,
you want
I,
to do
I'm
it
not,
or not.
I'm not saying I do anything. But what if you tell the wrong guy to shut up? And there's
well,
a move that they call the knee-jerk elbow. It's a slide kick into a quick left elbow. And it doesn't,
okay, here,
it doesn't
yeah,
leave,
yeah,
leave as open
deal.
As the rising
listen,
fist.
Yeah, yeah, listen. So you do all that stuff. What if I pull 45 and blow your head off? The point is, it's stupid.
I doubt very seriously if you're going to pull a gun on a guy who's trying to practice his constitutional right to free speech.
Hey, I have
well,
a
you know,
right under the
theater,
the right there on
the three or the theater.
You know, you do not. Not a concealed weapon in a movie theater. No, you
yeah,
do not.
I have a
no, you
too.
Do
I
not.
Carry a concealed weapon.
No, you
the
do not.
No, he said he has
too.
A concealed weapon permit. So now you guys are firing guns and doing the rising
yeah,
fist or the silent
it's
scream.
It's entirely stupid.
Well, sir, I don't want to get into it with you. Just if you listen to my commentary, I guarantee you'd shake my hand.
No, I wouldn't.
All right, John.
I'd let you shake something.
Thank you. 1-800-449-8686. Talking in a movie theater, Mr. Amarca, when people are trying to watch the film, even if it's intelligent commentary about the film itself, may be irritating because people don't necessarily want to just hear about the film.
If it is here, Mr. and I want to say something. If it is...
No, hold on for a minute. Some people don't care about the martial arts stuff. It looked...
Well, then why are they going to see the movie? Why would anybody want to go see Rush Hour 3, one of the worst films ever made, probably in the history of cinema? Jackie Chan's the only reason to go see Rush Hour 3.
What about Chris Tucker's funny?
Jesus Christ. Did you say Chris Tucker is funny? Are you trying to say to me...
No, wait a minute. Jackie Chan is interesting, but the film is about more than his karate moves, this goofy relationship between him and Chris Tucker.
No, the movie is interesting only insofar as Chan... Look, at that Chinaman, and he is a tremendous credit to his race, has moves. He's got a move there called... It's called the Rising Fist. And it'll literally take all the teeth out of the bottom row of your jaw, and he doesn't even move his hands. Now that is a move that is worthy of...
What does he do, kick you?
No, sir, he uses his fist, but you can't see it. It's almost as if his hands don't leave his sides.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. This gentleman wants the right to talk in a movie theater. To talk in a movie theater. If it's intelligent conversation about the film, he has every right... He knows karate. Don't mess with him. That's what I'm getting anyway. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Extremism. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
I'm talking with Austin Amarca. He is a martial arts teacher about his right to talk in a movie theater to his students about different martial arts moves when they're watching a film. A lot of people don't like talking in the movie theater. You say that a lot of people don't like listening to your, quote, intelligent commentary.
Well, let me say this quote, Mr. Hendry, because...
Well, I don't mean to be insulting, sir, but you say your commentary is intelligent. I haven't heard it.
Let me tell you where I am right now. I'm out at Morongo Casino out here in Palm Springs, and I'm just playing some video poker. But I got up while you were in the middle of your break, and I did a pose for some of the people here who are playing some of the some people at the 50-cent slots and the dollar slots, and I did what's called the swan, which is a stance, and showed it to the people, and I got a good response from them. See, people enjoy seeing, I guess you could say, intelligently done martial arts. And I'm watching the movie. Here I was watching the film Matrix with my students, demonstrating a lot of different things. I had a person tell me to shut up. there's a martial arts move that was, everybody has seen it in a Three Stooges movie, but it's an actual martial arts move, which is used to be called the dying pear tree, but that is two fingers to the eyes. And the Three Stooges and everything like that.
You mean the way they poke each other in the eye?
Well, that comes from a martial arts move that I did toward a man who told me to shut my mouth in a movie.
All right, let me talk to Chuck. Chuck, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Austin Amarca here. We're talking about talking in the movie theater. Chuck, go ahead.
Yes, sir. First point I'd like to make is that all of these movies that you're saying you're taking your students to see,
yes, sir,
are all available on video. If you want to teach your students, take them back to your dojo, put the DVD in, and you can talk all you want. Second point is, anybody who is into martial arts knows that it is a last resort. You do not display, you do not threaten, you do not try to aggravate anybody in any way.
Oh, I'm not
you use it
they
as a last
me.
Resort.
Yes, sir, but they aggravate me.
No, sir, they are not. When that sign comes on and says, everyone in the theater, that includes you.
Yes, sir, commentary.
And I'll guarantee
how
you,
come when
you're
I just
sitting behind me, I'm going to tell you to shut up.
So now you're threatening me with violence.
I will dare you to stand up and challenge me.
All right. What happens if I give you a boot to the head and counteract that with a block and roll?
This is what I'm trying to tell you.
No, you're the guy that just said,
who is into the martial arts knows that you do not, under any circumstances, unless you are at your last straw, you do not. And poses, any, you don't do nothing.
I just...
You do not display your abilities. And my friend, that was taught in the very first Karate Kid movie.
Well, that's what I mean about guys like you. You're watching the Karate Kid, I'm watching Kill Bill.
No, I'm not watching the Karate Kid. The point I am making is that it was specified in the Karate Kid movie.
Well, let me ask you a question, Chuck. Hold on, this is Phil Hendry. There is a certain code of ethics, you're saying, sir?
This guy's trying to roll out a bunch of stuff. Let me tell you something.
No, I want to ask Chuck, if there's a code of conduct that
absolutely
martial artists...
Absolutely, it's a code of conduct.
Look, this ain't the Marine Corps.
Because if you are trained...
I'm threatened
in the
by
martial
these
arts, if you are trained in the martial arts, you are a lethal weapon.
How about a gut check and a neck snap?
Who?
The gut check, neck snap.
Now, see, again, you're displaying, and you are not to be doing.
All right, well, let me ask you something. What am I supposed to do? And you're telling me I got to wait for it to come out on DVD, so my constitutional rights get, they get denied.
No, sir,
denied.
What I said was every movie that you mentioned is already out on DVD.
Not Kill Bill 2.
All the Matrix movies.
No, wait, not Kill Bill 2.
All the Matrix movies are out.
Yeah, but the
Kill
one they
Bill
want
is out.
Out.
Now,
okay, what about
if you want to teach your
what about Enter the Dragon?
The proper way.
What about Enter the Dragon?
You take
Enter
them
the
back
dragon.
To your dojo, and you teach them the proper way. You do not disturb other people.
Well, you
with
know
your
something. I didn't do anything. Just a minute ago, before I said I'm in the middle of the Morongo Casino out here in Palm Desert.
I don't care.
And I
where
did the swan, and everyone, and I got people applauded me.
I you know, well, they're as simple as you are.
They're simple.
Chuck, you there?
Hey.
Oh, well, we might have lost him.
Well, look, Mr. Ed, I will say this. See, he said Enter the Dragon. Is that out on DVD?
Enter the Dragon? Is it out on DVD? Bruce Lee's dead. That's how long that's been out on DVD.
Well, I'm not familiar.
Enter the Dragon? That's like Bruce Lee's been croaked for I don't know how many years.
Watch the way you talk about a karate master. You're not allowed to talk crap about a karate master.
What are you talking about, talk crap?
He said he's dead.
He is dead. He's dead, man.
Who?
Bruce Lee is dead.
A moment ago, I got up and I did a full swan, and everyone applauded. Now you guys treat me like I'm dirt.
You're in the middle of a casino. Everybody's been belting back gin and tonics.
What about a high left kick fake to the right chop and a power right fist? Man, you are dead, dead, dead.
If you... Okay. You know what? Are you threatening me now in a movie theater?
Well, that guy wanted to.
Here is David. Go ahead, David.
First off, I have one thing to say. I have studied martial arts for over 10 years. First off, you don't brag about what you can do with martial arts. Martial arts is about inner peace and keeping yourself in a state of consciousness and not wanting to brag about what you know.
Are you making this up?
Bruce Lee, you even mentioning Bruce Lee is an insult to that man. Bruce Lee never...
Mr. Henry insulted him.
No. Bruce Lee never, ever started nothing.
Hey, okay, Mr. Henry insulted him by saying
a person who actually studies martial arts and respects the art does not go and try to brag about what they know. They don't show off what they know.
What about Chuck Norris?
Chuck Norris don't show off. Chuck
he
Norris
don't.
Was into...
All he does is make movies.
He never started a... Every
Bruce
great
Lee.
Master of martial arts has never started a fight.
Well, when you say don't show off, how come you don't call making a movie showing off? Jesus.
No, actually it's not. It is using their talent to better themselves. They're not showing off their talent so some idiot like you can go out there and say, oh, I know how to do a swan.
Sir,
you know what? The swan is the first thing that they teach you in basic Taekwondo.
Sir, can I just say something? Mr. Henry was the one who insulted Bruce Lee. He said he was dead.
He is dead. I'm sorry to tell you. Bruce Lee is dead. Brandon Lee is dead. Don't get me wrong. I studied Bruce Lee's. I have studied it. I've read the book. And that's all I can
do. You're trying to tell me Brandon?
Brandon Lee, his son, was an excellent martial artist. He was a great master himself.
How could you?
But my whole point being is, when it comes to martial arts, it's not the fact of going out there and saying, I can kick your ass. Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, that's
I
a good...
I can kick your butt.
Yeah, well,
you don't have nothing to do with
that's,
that.
David, that I think, you know, from what I've seen...
What you've seen, Mr. Henry, what do you know about it?
I'm just saying what I've heard.
Well, look at...
Martial
I just
arts.
Did, look, I just
I'm
did the swan
you, sorry,
for a waitress.
Sorry,
I got a free drink.
If you are teaching your students what you're saying on the phone on this radio show right now...
Yes, sir.
You are teaching your students wrong.
What are you,
you
talking about?
You are teaching
about?
Your students that it is okay to go out there and attack. That is not what martial arts is about. Martial arts is specifically meant for defense only.
Let me ask you a question, David.
I'm
David,
a six-year student of Muay Thai kickboxing. I'm a four-year student.
You are wrong about Bruce Lee.
And I have 2 years of jiu-jitsu. I don't care.
Jiu-jitsu, that's Jap stuff. I'm talking about the real deal.
Oh, come on, will you? Now, I don't want to get into who's who and what's what.
Now,
wait a minute. You're wrong about Bruce Lee starting a fight. He started a fight with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar on accounts of Bruce thought Kareem was playing lousy basketball. Do you remember when he started a fight with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar? And you say Bruce Lee don't start no...
He didn't start the fight.
Yes, he did. He fought... What, Kareem did? Holy cow.
Man,
brother.
I'm telling you right now.
Dude, you,
I'm telling you,
you
right now.
You gotta get a grip.
The basic rules to every style of martial arts, whether it be ninjutsu, jiu-jitsu, taekwondo, Muay Thai kickboxing, it doesn't matter.
Oh, quit showing off.
No, I'm not showing off. I'm telling you right now. If you would actually sit down and study and read about it.
All right. We gotta move on here, David.
Well, this guy gets to have the last word, and I
gotta move on with the call. Thank you, David. Very good point you made. I believe,
Mr. Henry, you know Bruce Lee, Brandon Lee. You said he was dead.
Well, it turns out he is dead.
I didn't know that, but the point is, I think it's disrespectful. Do you know any karate at all?
No, I don't. I know. I took taekwondo when I was young, man. I can do maybe a couple. I don't know anything. No, I'm not. I'm out of shape. I can't do anything.
So I could kick your ass.
Well, yes, okay, good for you. But you know what? I'm like a lot of people. I'm still going to tell you to be quiet, and then you can kick my butt. Then I'll sue you, and I'll own your dojang, your house, your cabinet-making business.
You know something? That's why I hate aspects of this country, not the whole country. I love America, but I hate the fact that guys like you can sue me. So I spent 21 years learning martial arts only to be sued, and now I won't have any money.
Yeah, that's right. So go ahead and kick my ass, man. The lawsuit that I bring on you will be enough, I think, to probably clean you out for six lifetimes.
You know, that...
That hurts, doesn't it?
You mean I can't beat you up?
No, you can't beat me up without me suing you, no.
Well, then what did I take karate for?
I don't know why you took karate, man. To defend yourself, maybe? Not to start fights.
I just did the swan for a waitress. I got a free...
You always get free drinks in a casino, you muttonhead. They give you free drinks so you can get good and hammered and play those video poker games like you're playing until you haven't got a nickel left.
What are you talking about? They always give you free drinks.
They always give you free drinks in a casino, you idiot.
I pay for them.
No, you don't. You give them tips. Look, why don't you go back to the dojang and do some working out instead of getting hammered out at Morongo Casino?
You can kiss my... You know something, Mr. Henry? I learned karate for 21 years, and now you tell me people can sue me. So I might as well just put on a skirt.
Yeah, that's right. And some lipstick.
Is close time open?
Yeah, I think they're open till 10.
Can I ask a question?
What?
Does a full house beat a flat?
Will you get out of here with your video poker? Video poker. He thought he was getting free drinks on account of the fact that he was doing his new he was wearing his new karate robe. So the chicks at Morongo Casino were laying out the free drinks, and this cat, what a freaking piece of work this guy is. He's a black belt in piece of work. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686, The World Famous Phil Henry Show. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Eddie Van Halen just walked into the studio. What are you doing, Eddie?
I'm...
You're sitting in the corner sucking on your toe.
Yeah, you'll tell me what you know. It's a karate move.
What do you mean it's a karate move? You're sucking on your toe.
I'm sucking on my toe. That's the way you perform.
You know, dude, forget it.
And you didn't forget it. You know, Phil, I always thought you had...
You're getting as stupid as Dickman. Sitting there sucking on your toe, it's a karate move.
I'm just joking around. It's comedy.
Hey, dude, leave the comedy to me or somebody like Janice or Chris, all right? You just talk funny with that half tongue.
Okay.
I'm doing comedy. All right, it's time now for a flashback from Friday. Vice President of Syndication David G. Hall called into our program to explain the latest rules from the FCC. Wait till you hear these. He explains that not only can broadcasting companies be fined for offensive material, but callers who express too much of an extreme opinion on certain topics can be fined. Like when a call says, like Maya, who is you're going to hear, says that President Bush is the worst president we've ever had. That's fineable. You can say he's bad, you just can't say he's the worst. And also disrespecting a program director, you can get fined. And David calls for Maya to be fined. He wants her phone number locked in. He wants to, basically, he also said that she voted for Kerry because she's black.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
You're insulting me by saying stupid stuff.
Well, what did she say that's stupid?
You're insulting me by having
a... coming on the air and saying he's the worst president we ever had. What an imbecilic thing to say. Yes, you can say I don't like him.
No, it's a very true thing to say.
No, it's not. It's not. It's not true. Now you know what I'm going to do. I got to lock her phone number.
David, hold on for a minute. I don't want to be the first radio show to enforce these guidelines. Okay, the lady.
I want you to lock that phone number.
You know what? I would like to talk about that when we get off the air. I don't
want
to start locking.
I want you to send me a letter saying that you're locking my phone number so I can sue the FCC.
You sue the FCC? What are you going to sue the FCC for? Why? Sue the FCC for what? Saying that you hurt children. You're hurting
children.
Because you're being dumb. Because you're dumb.
George Bush is an enemy of the United States.
Okay, there we go. You got to lock her number.
Worst president ever.
Well, you're black, so I figure you'd say that.
Okay, now what is that about?
I'm black?
They're all Democrats.
You asked for the FCC and you said I'm black?
You're black. They're all Democrats.
My number?
Well, wait a minute. You're black, right? Aren't you black?
What does that have to do with my opinion?
Because all black people vote for Kerry.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Well, of course they do.
She's supposed to.
I'm in California. I haven't voted for Kerry.
Ma'am, do black folks get a letter saying, remember, your duty is to vote for Kerry?
I don't know every black
All right, okay, look, let's
United
just not...
You are being ridiculous.
I'm locking your number. Hey, I could be just as dumb as you.
How come you get to be dumb as she can't?
Because I'm a licensed guy. What? Are you licensed?
Licensed for what? Yeah, I have my driver's license. What do you mean, license? License?
Well, you know, I can make a joke. I can say, do you have a dog license? But I don't. I don't say that because I'm a gentleman.
Am I licensed for what? You said, am I licensed?
Are you licensed for by the FCC? No.
Am I licensed?
Can I ask you a question, Maya? Seriously, in every pack of cool cigarettes, is there a note that says, remember to vote for Kerry?
Okay. So you're a racist now. Is that what you're doing?
No, I'm just, she said, oh, Bush is lousy. And I said, well, naturally,
she's... Can I have your full name? Because I'm going to complain about...
Yes. My full name, Alvin... A-L-V-I-N.
Uh-huh.
Chipmunk.
Uh-huh. Okay, David, see, so in other words, you can say anything you want, but when she wants your name...
Phil, again, I work for a federally licensed facility. It's got nothing to do with me.
That's what's going on. You don't want anybody to speak out because a lot of people listen to talk radio, period.
Ma'am, you can say anything you want about George Bush.
All right. Talking about Bush, then there was a problem. He's been doing the same type of show for over 20 years.
What kind of Bush?
There hasn't been this kind of problem.
Oh, you just want to be Robin Quivers.
Oh, I don't want to be.
Yeah, you do. You wish you were
I've
her.
I've been listening to Howard Stern since.
And you've been jealous of Robin Quivers from day one.
And you know
well,
that because
say...
I don't like Bush.
You don't like Bush? I do.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
So anyway, that's David G. Hall, and that guy is a walking violation of FCC. God, I hate Monday. It's the only day I can't handle having a few beers before the show. No, FCC guidelines. Okay, 1-800-449-8686. Coming up, Paul McNamara on internment camps for cats. What do you think? Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Paul McNamara joins us with the organization Pets Best Friend, a nonprofit organization dedicated to the well-being of domestic pets. And, Paul, welcome to our program.
It's always a pleasure, Phil.
And we also have Bill Sully, the general counsel with Pets Best Friend. Bill, how are you?
I'm very good.
Gentlemen, let's talk about your organization because it is not an animal rights organization per se. It's sort of a alternative group, isn't that right, Paul?
Well, I wouldn't call us an alternative group. Here is where our organization differs, Phil, from most. When we chartered in 1998, Bill and I made specific reference to the need that we not include in the definition of a legitimate domestic pet cats, felines.
Why is that?
Well, there are a million reasons why. I think most people would agree that cats are not. Most people, I think, would agree that cats are not legitimate pets because they lack the most significant quality domestic pets in general share. They do not respect or respond to the fundamental, if you want to call it, the fundamental supremacy of the human. Human beings, for all of our faults, are the highest form of life on the planet, and all domestic animals know this and respect this. Cats do not. The other reason I think Bill can illuminate or expand on this is that cats are not a well liked pet. They do not respond the way dogs do.
The idea, Phil, came to us when we were chartering Pets Best Friend, is that cats, as Bill said, as Paul said rather, do not share domestic animals' respect for human beings, and that pets in general, domestic pets, I have that quality. The reason why I am speaking with you tonight as a general counsel is we have been threatened with two or three lawsuits from cat owners over the propositions that we've made.
All right. I know a lot of people who have cats and love cats. They seem to enjoy that animal's independent qualities. Is that something that you respond to? Or?
Well, I think it's pretty sorry excuse for a person to try and drag love out of an animal that is too... selfish to give it. And when you see what happened to Roy Horn in Las Vegas, Bill, I think you would agree it was the handwriting on the wall.
Well, here was a gentleman, Mr. Horn, who was in Las Vegas, who's being fed from a tube, and the reason is because of a cat.
But you guys, you're talking about a white tiger that's an enormous-sized animal.
I understand the difference, but the mentality is the same. The average so-called house, and I say so-called, by the way, Mr. Andrew, because we do not recognize there's such a thing really as a house cat. The average cat, were it large enough, would do the same thing to its owner that Roy Horn's cat did to him. A cat will betray you the way Judas betrayed Jesus Christ. And then I think, Paul, you had a good analogy. They will definitely, a cat will sell you out and clean its paws and go to sleep. And that's, I think, the most offensive thing about this animal.
How did you get to this philosophy? I'm interested because my family, we have a couple of cats. My kids enjoy them. The thing about a cat is they don't give affection the way a dog does, but they do play. They're affectionate in their own way.
Well, I'll tell you that as long as you have cats, I think your family's in jeopardy because...
Well, what do you mean by that?
Well, let me point this out. When I was in college, I was living with a very beautiful Mexican-American girl, probably one of the most beautiful Latin women I've ever met. We met where she worked. We moved in together. We were very passionate, but she did have these two black Burmese cats, and I, of course, tried to get to know them, but they never, they didn't do the things a dog would do. They wouldn't lick your face. They wouldn't come over when they were called. They did not do anything a dog would do, lie down. I used to try to get them to fetch things.
Well, I got to jump in here. Cats don't do those things.
But I had not been exposed to cats, so I was looking at them with a pair of unbiased eyes, and what I saw was that other people can't see is the pure arrogance of this animal and the fact that it would sell you and its own mother in the same lot. And
let me give you an example, Phil, if I could.
Let me jump in and just say we're talking to Bill Sully and Paul McNamara of Pet's Best Friend. Bill is the general counsel. Paul is the... And we're talking about... You guys are talking about getting rid of cats because they are not really a house cat, because there is something fundamentally dishonest and sort of, I guess, disloyal about them?
Well, I want to give you an example of the mindset of these animals. When Paul lived with Gloria, and I knew Gloria briefly, one of these cats, and Paul, you probably tell it better, but one of these cats had killed a bird and had brought it to the back door where there was a mat.
That is correct, and it laid it on the mat. And when I saw that, I looked at the cat, and the cat was looking at me with one thought in its mind. You could see what the cat was thinking. You see this bird? If I could do that to you? And my blood ran cold. And if you've seen cats, the thing about a cat's eyes are when you look into their eyes are like doll's eyes. Until they hunt, then they roll back white and you hear that high-pitched screaming. And I'll never forget that day.
Well, all right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Cats are fundamentally disloyal animals, and as such should not be classified as a protected domestic pet.
That is correct, and what that would mean, Bill, is removing them from the idea that they're a protected domestic pet so that they're not subjected to the same animal cruelty laws, I guess.
Well, that is correct. You would not have cats under the aegis of the ASPCA. You would not have cats under the aegis of the Humane Society. These would be animals considered to be feral, considered to be wild. And let me explain. There is no one on earth who detests everything Hitler stood for more than myself or Pet's Best Friend. And no one on earth who stands in greater admiration for the Japanese-American people and what they suffered in World War II. I don't agree with that at all, but the Japanese internment camps did not have gas chambers, they didn't have death squads. What we are proposing through Pet's Best Friend, and we're ready to help fund the building of internment camps for 30 million so-called domestic cats. The camps can be placed in two or three southwestern states, Arizona, New Mexico, Nevada, and eventually have these animals resettled in the wild or in some other country. We can resolve this through the United Nations, if you all. But that could handle this number of so-called domestic house cats until there is resolution.
But the point is that we are finally addressing the problem.
Well, here's the problem. The problem is a lot of people love cats.
A lot of people love cats until they realize that these animals have absolutely no loyalty. If they were human beings, they would slit your throat from ear to ear. And I mean this. I can tell you, Phil, the Burmese cats that Gloria had, my girlfriend, we were going to get married, if I told her that I didn't want these cats in our home, she insisted that they stay. I let the cats out. I opened the door and let them get out because I love this girl. And when I say she was beautiful, she was gorgeous, I let the cats out. We eventually got engaged, and we eventually did get married. But I told her eventually, about a year into our marriage, that I had let the cats go. And the hold these animals had over her, when she found out that I let the cats out of the house on purpose, she left the house. She moved out of the house and eventually divorced me. Now,
well, because you lied to her. You said that the cats ran away or something, and you let them out.
That's not the point. The point is I was saving...
If I could jump in, this is Bill Sully. When you are talking about a family that you love, and you are trying to create an environment of affection, having a house cat, and the way that animal looked at you that day...
Well, that cat looked up at me...
Look, cats do that. They kill birds, they kill mice. They lay them on the mat as a way of showing the master of the house that they're doing their job.
That is a misnomer. That is.
What do you mean it's a misnomer?
That is not what the case is. The case is, it is, in my opinion, it's a threat. A threat to the owner that I will do to you what I did to this bird. So help me, Christ. Now, I...
No, all right, let me hold on for a minute. 1-800-449-8686. We're talking with Paul McNamara and Bill Sully of Pet's Best Friend about house cats. They do not want them to be recognized as legitimate domestic pets. They want them taken off of that list so that they are no longer protected by the ASPCA or the Humane Society. They believe these are fundamentally feral wild animals with no real loyalty or respect for human beings. And in point of fact, they use what happened to Roy Horn in Las Vegas as an example. Roy Horn, as you know, was injured by that white tiger in the Tiger Act. 1-800-449-8686. Should cats eventually be removed from domestic house pet status and removed from the American home? 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. We eat kittens. The Phil Henry Show is back.
I'm talking with Paul McNamara and Bill Sully of Pets Best Friend. It is a nonprofit organization dedicated to the well-being of domestic pets. You gentlemen are at the Los Angeles Greyhound Terminal, is that right?
Yes, Phil, that is correct.
And Mr. Sully, why is that?
The reason why we're here, Phil, is because we have received threats. And we are leaving the Los Angeles area briefly. We're going to try to continue our work and try to appeal to Sacramento, but we have to do it from an area that, from an undisclosed location. And this is a very unfortunate reality when you're dealing with controversial legislation that is designed to help people. We have received threats from individuals who call themselves cat lovers, but we need to let everyone know that the cat, and we are speaking specifically now of the domestic house cat, is a threat to the well-being of the owners. And if they were big enough, if they were humans, if cats were human beings, Phil, this is what we like to say, if a cat was a human being, he would slit your throat while you slept. He would.
You know, my cat, the cat that we have, our little cat, his name is Ruffy, he sleeps with my daughter.
He sleeps with your daughter. If he were big enough and he were a human being, he would do to your daughter what that man did to Elizabeth Smart. Abduct her, take her into the forest, and turn her into a sex slave hostage for 9 to 12 months.
This is an animal that has no...
Phil, the point is the domestic cat, this little furry cat that everyone thinks they understand and love, is a ticking time bomb. And if you've got one in your own home, we feel the best thing to do, and we've been threatened. I'm at a bus station. I've got two tickets killing myself to get out of town because of what's happened with these cat owners.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Jonathan, you're on the air here with Bill Sully and Paul McNamara of Pet's Best Friend. Go ahead. Jonathan? Well, I lost Jonathan.
Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, Jonathan, go ahead. I'm sorry. Oh, we can hear you, Jonathan. Can you hear us?
Yes, sir, I can hear you.
Go right ahead, sir. You're on the air.
Thank you. I just had a comment for the two gentlemen. I've had a minx cat since it was a little tiny kitten. And that cat, when it got older, it was very loving, very affectionate. It'd go catch rabbits and bring them, birds and bring them, and they'd leave them. She'd never eat them until I told her it was okay and petted her. So it can't be as bad as these gentlemen are making
well,
out. That's all I had to say, sir.
The reason I said what I said, Jonathan, is when the cat brought that rattlesnake to your back door, did it ever occur to you that the cat is showing to you what he'd like to do to you?
Well, I don't think the cat's mentality is that great. I think it just hunts out in Mother Nature's respect. That's their line in the wild is line in domestic life as far as the cat is concerned, but it doesn't cause or pose any threat to humans.
Well, here is what my point, I guess, is, and Bill made this point, Jonathan. Women who are abused in their homes have a very hard time admitting that a husband is beating them, so they stay in the home even though it's dangerous. This is the same way owners of cats hesitate trying to get away from the cat. They refuse to admit the cat is dangerous, even though they should get away from it. And we're simply saying we don't want to harm the animal. We'd like to have them resettled in an aboriginal area, an area that could be described as feral, wild, within certain confines. We'd like to airdrop all the cats, if we could, and this would be in association with a variety of countries. Is the gentleman there?
Jonathan, you're on a kind of a two-way that's kind of scratchy, but we appreciate your call. 1-800-449-8686 is the number here on the Phil Henry Show. Are you talking about airdropping?
Phil, I'll take that question. Cats, first of all, it'd be very expensive to resettle the cats, domestic cats here in the United States, but there could be a single airdrop administered by the United Nations where the cats would be parachuted into a jungle-like area, for instance.
All right, we got a little bit of a quirk on our line there. I'm sorry, Bill, did you say something?
No, it's Paul.
Yeah, Phil, the expense comes in developing some kind of a parachute that would be applicable to an animal, and I don't know how that is, but we have put our resources behind that, but they obviously be a much smaller parachute.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Tammy, go ahead.
Do you guys really think that your cat is going to stand over your bed at night and try to slice your throat?
No, ma'am, of course not. No, of course not. What I'm saying to you is this. It is a disloyal animal, and it does not respect the... And for all of our faults, the supremacy of human life on this planet. And I mentioned
you know
my girlfriend...
Hang on, give me one second. I've had dogs my entire life. I love dogs.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
I hated the fact that I moved to California, got an apartment where I can't have dogs. Went out and I got a kitten. God loves this thing. He plays fetch. He plays hide and seek. He is crazy. He goes for walks outside. He's like a little dog. He got hurt. I'll tell you this really quick. He got hurt and... showed so much affection when we brought him home
well,
to the hospital.
Well, that's their way of lying.
No, he's not lying.
It's a dishonest animal.
Genuine.
He's a liar.
It's genuine.
Let me
There's
ask you this.
There's so much more innocent than we are.
Can I ask you a question, ma'am?
Sure.
For you, that's fine. I had probably a woman that I wanted to stay married to.
I heard your story.
She had more loyalty to a cat than she had to me. I don't blame her.
Well, maybe there was something underlying there. Maybe she saw something. I don't know. I'm
you
sorry.
You know something? No, ma'am. I blame the cat. And it's lying, and it's arrogance.
You're blaming something, you know, with a brain
and the
so tiny compared to yours.
Phil, this is Bill Sully.
Go ahead, Bill.
I just wanted to mention to the lady that the idea that an animal like a cat will kill a bird or a rat or what have you and bring it to the back mat in your
dogs
home.
Dogs will kill.
They don't display it to the master of the house as if to say, you're next.
Look at pit bulls.
Wait a minute. What do you mean saying you're next? Like you said...
No, they're not big enough to kill you, but they lay that dead bird as if to say, oh, what I wouldn't give to do this to you.
No, that's not what they're saying.
All right,
I'm
ma'am, you have fun with your
that.
Cat. I don't know what. Has this cat of yours ever needed one of your. Does he need you at night on your arm or your leg or your sweater? This is an aggressive sign.
He lays at the foot of my
that's
bed
a,
every single
thing.
Night. When I wake up, he runs, he goes into my son's room, and he wakes up my son by licking his face.
I can tell you. See, you're laughing, and what it kind of insults me that you don't take me seriously.
No, I am. I find it absurd. I'm sorry.
Well, you find it absurd?
Well, you guys are talking about developing small parachutes to
that's
drop...
That's absurd.
That is an idea that we
you
had.
Think the United Nations is really going to get in on this when there is... I mean, people are starving, and there's diseases.
No, I do not.
They're going to worry
no,
about
I do not. No, you're right.
Parachuting cats into a remote island somewhere
no.
so they
this
can't
is
populate
the
world.
All right, I can play for you the sound of an animal. This was tracked by the United Nations... wildlife biologists, and this is the sound of an animal, a cat, a Burmese cat, that is angry, and through high-pitched technology, you're able to isolate the, I guess we could call it the aggressive sound. Go ahead and play this if you wouldn't mind. To you, that sounds like a meow. To me, that sounds like the silent scream of a shark that is heading in for the kill.
All right, and, Tammy, thank you for your call. 1-800-449-8686. Domestic cats, according to Pets Best Friend, a nonprofit organization for the well-being of domestic pets, cats need to go. They need to be taken out of the American home. They're an aggressive and hateful animal, and they do not respect the, quote, supremacy of human life. 1-800-449-8686. We'll get into making these small parachutes to... do a single drop into jungle territory when we get back on The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Hey, Jack Ball, it's entertainment. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
All right, I'm back with Paul McNamara and Bill Sully, who's the general counsel of Pets Best Friend, a nonprofit organization dedicated to the well-being of domestic pets. You guys think the first thing that has to be done is that cats get taken off of any list of protected domestic pet that they are to be... You use Japanese-American internment as some example...
Well, I think there needs to be some kind of a roundup. We do not want to have an extermination of these animals. We do believe that they are viable in the wild. What we do want, though, is a safe drop, 130,000 drop, utilizing a nylon, light nylon parachute, single to a single feline. You understand what I'm saying?
All right. So this can be accomplished with a C-130 Hercules transport plane over any areas, uninhabited areas of Papua New Guinea or the archipelago. Islands. These cats can then continue to live in a habitat they were born into, and they will not be fettered by humans that they have no common decent respect for.
The common decency, I think, is the idea here. I don't want to live with them if they can't even give me the courtesy of a domestic. A dog will lick your face. A cat. You know, I used to do work in my office. The cat would come in and use the cat box. While I'm trying to get work done, and they stink. And that is, see, again, when it's...
Well, it's just an animal doing what an animal does.
But it is a sign of disrespect that when you're in the middle of trying to get something done, and the animal comes in and uses the box, uses the toilet, as if to say...
1-800-449-8686. I'm going to go to Angela. Angela, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Or hold on, Angela, if you wouldn't mind for just a moment. I go to Amy. Amy, go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, Amy, go right ahead.
Yeah, I was wondering about the impact of dropping thousands of feral cats into pristine jungle situations where they can kill off tons of native wildlife. Feral cats in the U.S. kill loads of migrant and endangered bird species all the time, and you're talking about dropping...
Well, I don't know. First of all, the endangered bird species you're talking about are animals that have been transported in this country illegally. You're talking about, if you're talking about wild parrots, those animals should
No, I'm not talking about wild parrots. I'm talking about migrant birds, species native to the U.S.
Cats
kill loads of them all the time.
That's
it's a big
what cats
problem.
Do.
So you're going to drop them off in the middle of the jungle with no consideration of what the impact will be on the local wildlife?
Well, that's what cats do. And if cats were allowed to do what they do, you would see much more of an eco-balance than you see today. Let me give an example, too. This is a normal cat. And this is a normal glottal sound from a cat. Listen to this. We took that sound and were able, the University of Miami has an audio lab, we were able to slow this down and to a much slower pace and also to highlight the low end, and this is what it sounds like. Now, I would say to the caller, if that doesn't sound like a lion, and that is an angry lion,
so you'd like
then my
to
name is Captain Kangaroo.
Living happily
I'm Mr.
In...
Green Jeans.
You're going to take cats that are living happily in homes, not bothering any wildlife, drop them all into the jungle where they can completely throw off the ecological balance of the entire ecosystem there.
You got a lot of concern for ecology. You got no concern for humans. I'm telling you, I'm sick of them.
Where's the research showing all the cat attacks and all the fatal domestic house cat attacks?
I didn't say there were any fatal attacks. I did say that.
Then why are they a ticking time bomb if we've never actually had a documented case of a cat?
Because they are lying, you know, something.
What's the danger in my home?
Ma'am, that cat hates you.
Right,
hates
but where's
guts.
The danger?
And
I don't care. Maybe
you,
I like maybe
and
I
speaking
like
to you, I can understand why.
Well, that's
why?
Not necessary.
Well, let me take over. This is Bill Sully, Amy. How are you?
Fine.
Good. This one cat, the one that dropped the dead bird on the doormat over at Paul's house, it would watch Paul and Gloria making love.
That's fine, but...
Watch like it was judging them.
Where's
like
the
it was
danger,
judging
though?
Paul.
Where's the danger in the house that we have to remove
you know
them
what?
From home?
You know what? I don't like you either.
Where's the danger?
Okay, neither one of them wants to talk to you. Thank you for calling, though.
Is she gone?
Yes.
All right, she's gone, Bill. I was going to go and...
Are you guys going to catch a bus, or...?
We're on our way to... we don't want to tell anybody where we're going.
But it's because of the threats you've received from cat owners.
That is correct.
Let me go over here to Angela. Hi, Angela. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am.
I totally agree with Amy. I have to be on her side. I have never had a threat from a cat, ever. I have raised cats all my life for 38 years almost.
I think that you are deluded, ma'am. I think the cat has you in a position where you want to believe it's not going to hurt you.
It's the human race. You know, have you heard a cat has attacked? Yes, the only reason a cat has attacked is because the human race has been rude to that cat, had
abused
that
cat. All right, let me say this. Maybe the cat hasn't attacked, but let's talk about this for a second. Why in the 3 years that I was married to a beautiful Mexican-American woman, Gloria, did this thing always have to stare at me while I was trying to, be
so
masculine?
What? So what? My cats stare at me and my husband making love all the time. So what? He's like a cat.
So have you asked your husband?
A cat?
You
a
say
cat,
so what? What's your husband think about it?
Oh, he loves cats, too. We both love cats.
But does he want to stare at
him? We love all animals, huh?
Can I jump in? Angela, my name's Bill Sully. I'm general counsel.
Mm-hmm.
How are you?
Good.
Good. Paul is talking about a cat's tendency not to respect even the most private moments that a human being can enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you're sitting on the toilet, for instance.
That's the same as having a kid around. You know, what are you going to do? He's like,
well, you're not going to sit and use the toilet with a kid staring at you. But the cat wants to get into the bathroom and see what you're doing. Cats are they're the nosiest bastards. And excuse my language.
So what? It's like cats are not a threat to society.
I'd like to
you have
for
that
you.
Wrong. Your tests have it wrong. Those are two different races of species. That's a wild animal,
I don't know,
a lion
but you
or
have
a tiger. You cannot
Roy
say
Horn,
that.
Roy Horn, what happened to Roy Horn can happen to you. Now, listen to this domestic cat, so to speak.
That is bull, because there's no, you cannot judge a wild cat from the wild from Africa from a domestic cat.
Are you saying, let me jump in here, Angela, are you saying, okay, not for a moment, are you saying that sound is a domestic house cat slowed down?
That is correct. So what I'm trying to say to you, Angela, is that is the sound of a domestic house cat's real
intention.
What about
the human race? What about all these human people who rape children and stuff? What are you going to do about them? You know,
I'm a human
animals
being.
Are so
I'm
loving.
I'm a human
being. My cats are so loving.
Listen to this.
You are wrong. And you know what? Any place you you're going
to
be banned anywhere.
Ma'am,
any place you go, you're going
to
be banned anywhere. You'll hear me then.
I'm a way better. I'm higher on the evolutionary ladder than a cat. Are you kidding me or what?
I'd rather have my cats around than you around.
See, Angela, we are leaving town. We're at the Greyhound bus station right now.
Good, leave town, because any place you go, you're going to be banned. You know,
who's going to ban? I mean, we've gotten...
I have so many foundations for cats. It's like,
you know what, Angela,
ban
you talk about human beings raping. You won't need to worry about rape when that cat has your neck between its teeth.
Oh, my cat has never ever. I have never. I've had cats all my life. My friends have cats all their life.
You know what? You can have cats your whole life. Just remember.
How did the dog?
Your cat is staring at you.
They had to put it down because he turned on their kids. He grabbed them for almost bit the little girl. They had to put it down to sleep.
I think you're making it all up.
I swear, I am not making it up.
You heard that meow? Now listen to what its real intention is for you.
Oh,
Angela.
That is BS.
Listen
you
to
cannot
what
take
really...
it. You cannot take a wild tiger, a lion, try to tame it. You know?
Well,
oh,
really
come on. You don't have to be a rocket scientist,
Angela,
to judge that.
Can I just tell you something? That both Paul and I are leaving town because we've received death threats from cat owners like yourself.
Well, any place you go, you're going
to
receive them. I'm sorry, because there's so many cat lovers, you know. And
yeah, listen to that.
Have you ever experienced a cat turned on you?
That cat
have you ever experienced a cat turning on you?
Hey, Roy Horn. Three words for you, Roy Horn.
Answer the question.
All right.
Yes, I did. A cat ruined my marriage to a beautiful Mexican woman. That cat ruined my marriage.
No problem.
Oh, my God.
All right, listen, Angela, thank you. Thank you very much.
Your marriage? I think you ruined your marriage.
Thank you very much for your call.
Mr. Henry, I was given to understand that I would be on your radio show with individuals who are intelligent, and that chick...
She reminds you of Gloria, doesn't she?
She sure does. It's good, Bill, that you're with me. Bill and I, by the way, are going to be getting married.
You guys are gay?
Yes, we are. We're gay. We have a pets... nonprofit organization, and we hate cats. That's kind of out there, but it works for us. And we're leaving town because of the threats, but we'll go away somewhere. We don't want to mention where we're going, but it's Desert Hot Springs. Nice going. Oh, I'm sorry.
Is your bus there yet?
We're at the airport. We gotta go.
All right, so that's the two idiots that are, So that's the normal sound, but there's the real sound of a cat. This is the real sound. Just slow it down, and this is what they sound like.
Jesus, makes my blood run cold. Meow my ass.
All right. Okay. Ah! You know, I've had a cat stare at me after he snapped the neck of a bird. I never thought he was looking up and thinking, you're next. All right, 1-800-449-8686. By the way, if you'd like to contact Pet's Best Friends, we'll give you that address before the show is over tonight. 1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Henry Show will continue in a moment.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Kittens are tasty. Bill Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
All right, it's time now for a look at the news on the Phil Henry Show. A look at the news, or what passes as news these days. Now, here's one that shows just how... When's the last time you heard about Scott Peterson, huh? Boy, I thought that guy had already just molded, rotted, and blew away as dust in the wind. But he's still up there, I'm sure, fighting for his freedom. And he must be getting pretty desperate because the judge in the Scott Peterson murder trial said Monday he'd received a second letter from someone claiming to know who killed Peterson's pregnant wife. Maybe in the letter the guy says, Scott Peterson. All right, thanks. The letter, which was provided to lawyers in the case but not made public, was received from out of state, naming people who may have been involved in Lacey Peterson's murder. So they're getting so desperate up there. Is that Garago still on that case? Because I know Michael Jackson fired him because he probably thinks he's got a better shot of getting Scott Peterson off of a murder rap than letting Michael Jackson see any part of freedom after some of the stuff about him comes out. You know, I know that I was very much, I know I was very vocal about Michael Jackson being innocent early on in this thing. I would like you to know now that I'm having a real hard time with this guy. Now, I don't. I recognize because the guy's bizarre doesn't make him necessarily guilty of anything. But something about that Michael Jackson case stinks to high heaven. But I suppose it's because I'm white and he's black. Yes, that's it, ladies and gentlemen. I tend to believe he's guilty because he's black, I'm white, and all blacks are criminals. There you go. All right, that's what I call a well-thought-out argument. It's got to be that. Couldn't possibly be that I really think this cat has got some dirt under his fingernails, if you'll pardon the expression. You know, it's only a hunch. What has anybody got? All people got are hunches. You think he's innocent? It's a hunch. You don't know. You think he's guilty? It's a hunch. You don't know. My hunch now tells me the guy's guilty. He's guilty because I'm looking at the way this mother and this boy are reacting. They're stressed out. They're still pressing forward with this thing, but they got a real serious stress problem. The other situation is that the statements made by the other boy in that earlier civil case continue to sort of come back and cloud my brain like a fine tequila. Just sort of make my head swim around. But enough of that. Speaking of drinking, one of the St. Louis Rams has been arrested. He pled guilty to, well, I don't know if he's pled guilty to this. This is a guy by the name of Leonard Little who was popped shortly after 4 a.m. Saturday. Police in the St. Louis suburb of Ladue pulled him over for traveling 78 miles an hour in a 55-mile-an-hour zone on Interstate 64. Anyway, they popped him for being a juice hound. Now, this guy, this Little, pled guilty to involuntary manslaughter in a 1998 accident that killed a St. Louis woman. What's that guy doing? I guess you get to walk around if you... Involuntary manslaughter? You're drunk? It was a felony driving while intoxicated and speeding. Let me tell you a little bit about this guy's problem. He's a freaking alcoholic. He shouldn't go near any liquor. You want to talk about drug problems you got in the National Football League, man. Some of these guys are real drunks. Real juicers. Forget about the drug problem you may have in terms of the so-called recreational drug. You got some real drunks playing football in the NFL, starting with the quarterbacks. I think all the quarterbacks are rummies. Honest to God. Remember that guy that played for the Vikings? Who was that alcoholic? Wade Wilson, or what was it, Kramer? Tommy Kramer? What a sowhound he was. Now they got this alcoholic from the St. Louis Rams. Do everybody a favor, pal. Go to AA and dry up, man. You can't drink. You can't even use. You are done, baby. Unless, of course, you want to die and take somebody else with you. The U.S. military affirms TV cover ban on Iraq coffins. You want to know why? Because they don't want to make these internet geeks more famous than they want to be, okay? And another thing, these men and these women who have died for their country, if you're some slob who's got an internet site and you want to make yourself famous as the new anti-war journalist anarchist of the internet, you're going to have to do it on somebody else's dime, Charlie. The U.S. military is not going to show any pictures of these poor men and women who died. And by the way, dopey, make sure that they're all pictures of guys that died in combat, not the shuttle crew. What a dumbass. This guy says, hey, sorry, it wasn't my fault, but you know, I was all a titter when they told me I was going to be on Good Morning America. I'm sure you understand. Well, of course. Meanwhile, Michael Jackson, guilty as sin, has cut loose his attorney, Mark Garagos and Benjamin Brafman. They said they decided to step down, but Jackson threw him out of there because apparently they are, like I said, spending more time with Peterson. They have hired instead Thomas Messereau. This is the guy that represented actor Robert Blake in his murder case. By the way, Robert Blake is still in jail, so nice going. California professor is charged with a hate crime hoax. A Southern California college professor who received wide media attention when she claimed that racists had vandalized and defaced her car with ethnic slurs was charged on Monday with filing a false police report and insurance fraud. I heard about this story. The lady, Carrie Dunn, teaches out at Claremont McKenna College. She said that she had just taught a class on race relations and then came out to her car and it was defaced. She claimed it was a hate crime, and now the cops are saying she did it herself. Maybe there aren't so many hate crimes anymore that you got to do it yourself. I mean, you just don't get the, you know, the kind of hate crimes you used to get. Burn a cross on your own lawn? I burned a cross on my front lawn. Nobody gave a crap. the hell is that? Oh, it's music. Police and FBI agents who investigated the incident began suspecting Dunn was full of crap after witnesses came forward to say they hated her and she's a rotten teacher. Well, there you go. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. We'll be right back.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686.